Welcome to the In Your 20s podcast, where we figure out what the f- we're doing in our 20s. Hey, 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 it's your girl Tina with an H, and welcome back to another episode of In Your 20s. I don't know about you guys, but I am feeling very overwhelmed. This is not the last time you're going to hear me talk about this. I think that life is... I can't help but laugh because I just think that life is moving a little too fast right now, and there's so many things going on. Summertime is meant to be a relaxing time. When we were younger, we were always super thrilled to not have any responsibilities and to just be able to relax, have fun with our friends, make plans, whatever. This summer, I don't feel like that whatsoever. Granted, Drake came out with a new album. Maybe we'll start to feel like the summer of 2016 again. But right now, between trying to find a new place, prioritizing my friendships, having plans almost every weekend, and also trying to like work and socialize and date, it's consuming, guys. And I'm really, really tired. I have not seen or talked to my therapist in 2 months just because life has been overwhelming that I can't even schedule out time to chat with her. And that's a problem. It's a big problem. So as we are going through this summer, I just want you guys, and I'm also saying this for me, I want you guys to make sure that you're keeping time for yourself, taking an hour every day or taking an actual day where you don't have responsibilities, where you're not doing things on your to-do list, to just relax, whether that's reading or sitting on your couch and watching the new J-Lo documentary like I did last night. Just take time for yourself where you can kind of just shut off and just enjoy. So we're having, I think I saw this on the internet somewhere. There's been so many iterations of like hot girl summer, but we're having a simple person summer, a simple gal, a simple guy, a simple whoever summer to just be at your own peace. So that is my little spiel for today, because I know I cannot be the only one, especially with the way that inflation is rising. Ooh, child. Okay, no. That is one thing we're not going to talk about today, because I can't. So now that I'm done with my rant, it's time for us to get into today's episode. Today, I am joined by a friend and coworker, Sarita Noth. Sarita is a content creator, a producer, like her resume is 10,000 pages long. She's always up to something. And today we are talking about all of her successes, but what it took for her to get there. We're talking about how she created a seat at the table for herself. And this is also in honor of Caribbean Heritage Month, because Caribbean Americans, they're an underrepresented minority. They are not getting the recognition that they deserve. And so Sarita, with all the things that she's been doing recently and within this past month of June, she's really making it a point to talk more about her heritage and her history. So I hope you guys enjoy today's episode. I think she offers a great perspective into how to reach your goals and what it takes. And you can really hear the growth in her voice. So I am beyond thrilled to have her on. I hope you guys enjoy this episode. And without further ado, let's get into it. So Sarita, tell us a little bit about yourself. Like, how old are you? And what's a random fun fact you've learned in your 20s?
Wow. So I'm 29 years old. So you caught me right at the cutoff of my 20s. And so I have a lot of information to impart. But I would say a fun fact about what I've learned in my 20s, it's not really a fun fact. It's more so of like everything they say about your 20s is 100% true. And you truly can do everything and try to do everything. So for me, for example, in my 20s, I got a blue belt in Gracie Jiu-Jitsu. And that was just sort of like my fun fact of like doing something that like was out of my comfort zone.
What led you to choose Jiu-Jitsu?
Honestly, you know what? I was dating somebody right when I was like going into my 20s here. She's giving me this look right now.
Here we go.
Carried around a samurai sword when we went on our first date. Like, it was a little interesting. He was also from Jersey. It's your people, not mine. And in an art tube. It was weird.
Wait, he was carrying around a samurai sword. Did I hear that correctly?
Yeah.
Okay, for reference, Sarita's from Long Island, but like, I'm not claiming that man. Like...
Girl, I took the PATH train, whatever the light rail is. No, I'm on the LIR only, baby.
You guys were dating, and because he had this interest in jujitsu, you were like, oh, let me try it.
He had an interest in martial arts, and at that point in time, the bad bitch genre was not really coming up for me as much. So I was like, you know what? Let me just be a bad bitch on my own. Let me just do this. And I did it, and I fucking kicked ass. And I was the only girl in my class to have gotten a blue belt in such a short amount of time. So it was a great accomplishment for me. And I wouldn't say, like, by the end of it, it wasn't motivated by a guy anymore. It was sort of motivated in my power and sort of like knowing that I can do something outside of my comfort zone and succeed at that. So yeah.
Wow. I don't think there's anything that I have done that could compare or even like, I don't have a belt in anything. And also I don't think I've really pushed myself to that kind of limit. So, okay, you got your blue belt. And then after that, what made you kind of stop, actually?
I will say that how getting a blue belt is a great accomplishment. It did cost a lot of money at the time. I was young. I didn't have car access to get to my classes. But I also was starting my career in publicity in college. And then I eventually graduated to do more so entertainment and sort of what I do on a daily basis at VH1. So my career sort of started taking over because I started remembering, hey, I won't be here because I have to fly out to LA, or hey, I have this project to do for work. So my career started taking over. And while it was a very fun experience, it did teach me a lot about discipline. It did teach me a lot about sort of self-defense. I think for every woman, especially in her 20s, take that class, you know, go outside your comfort zone, learn how to defend yourself. It is not cute to just say, hey, I'm going to wait around for someone to defend me. Learn how to do something on your own. It could be a kickboxing class. It could be just sort of a simple self-defense class. But for me, jiu-jitsu was something that taught me a lot of discipline about how to sort of follow instructions and dedicate myself to something and see it through. So that was something that made my entire sort of 20s a great start, because I was able to do it and then just get it done.
And it's great because that discipline seeps into your work ethic and what you're doing now. So tell us a little bit about what you're doing, guys. For like total transparency, me and Sarita do work together. We are on the Slack channels together. But Sarita, tell us a little bit of what you're doing at VH1.
Wow. So I am a senior social media manager at VH1 Brand. I started off as an intern in 2014. So I worked my way up from being an intern to basically where I'm at right now. And I love my job. Honestly, I will say my job is something that I've manifested my entire life. And I think it's something that it's the most simple thing to do. And people just have to trust the process. Ever since I was 13 years old, I've loved America's Next Top Model. I used to watch it every single day on a Tuesday, 8 o'clock. You could not miss me, baby. And what I loved about it is that how, like, I was, you know, in my teenage years and also like chasing the Jonas Brothers for years. Like, I was that girl that like loved celebrities. All of that sort of experience being living and growing up in New York taught me a lot about sort of the lifestyle that I wanted to live. But I would always see celebrities at 1515 Broadway. And I was like, what was up those magical escalators that I would see celebrities go through all the time? And now it's something that's been part of my life for the past like 7 to 8 years that I have been able to manifest, like working at some place that I've always seen, always wanted to, and it eventually just became my dream job. So I worked from being an intern to a coordinator, to a manager, to a senior manager, where I basically lead brand campaigns for VH1 Brand. And get to work amazing events like the Movie and TV Awards, or smaller campaigns like VH1 Fan Love, or even the recent campaign that I'm doing right now for Caribbean American Heritage Month, where I get to put my passions into my work and also create content for the fans in a very niche audience that doesn't get as much attention by our overall programming. So being able to create content for a niche audience that will love it and engage with it is something that I'm super excited about, and I can't wait for everyone to see.
Y'all, I'm telling you, Sarita is always on the grind. She is always making the content. She is nonstop. Like, when I think about how I'm nonstop, I think Sarita beats me. And that's saying something.
No. And that's the reason why it was so important for me to come on here today, because I admire so much of what you're doing, because it is exactly what we need. We need more Tinas in the world who are engaged and who are doing an amazing job at work, but also being able to create something for their community and just the culture in general. So I love what you're doing.
Thank you. Guys, we're doing it for the culture over here. And Sarita, you sound so confident right now. And like, I know that you know your shit. But here you are at the age of 29. How would you say that you differ from your 20-year-old self? Like, who was 20-year-old Sarita?
You know what? I will say that this podcast, you asked me to be real and open and honest with you. And I think that my brand has been based off of honesty and transparency for years. I never wanted to be the beauty influencer that was fake and like, hey guys, the whole entire time. I wanted to be real and honest. And even if that meant that I took the slower road to success, it would be the most authentic and real road for me to live and be on. I've seen many people take the fast track to success in the beauty industry for years. And I've never admired that because they've had to compromise their authenticity in the process. For me, in my 20s, I've always loved beauty. I've always loved entertainment. I've always wanted to find a way of blending it all together. But I had a severe disadvantage to me that was not really seen to a lot of people. While that's not something that I feel very much comfortable talking about, I did get a lot of depression from it. And I did get really, really sad. And I sort of married myself to my job for years. And the confidence that you see right now is something that went through a really, really rough like 20s that people really don't talk about. As a young brown woman, I never saw myself as desirable to the guys that I liked. And I always saw myself as not chosen or not picked. And so that had a lot to do with my confidence in my 20s. So the only things that I would date were my job and events and my career and my friends. I would never take the time out to focus on Sarita and focus on me. So if there's any 20-year-old listening to this right now who is ambitious and wants to do so much with their career, know that your mental health matters so much because you're going to look back and say, oh, I really could have done a lot better of a job in my 20s or in my life if I didn't worry about XYZ or if I spent a little bit more time getting to know me and defining who I am as a person instead of trying to define who I am in the eyes of other people.
Oh, I fully relate to that. And especially what you were saying with like the distracting yourself and marrying yourself to other things, whether it's your career, your friends, anyone besides yourself, because I am the same way. Something bad happens. Okay, it happened. It is going in the back of my brain for years later to unpack with my therapist. Yeah. And I'm going to dive into things now, which in turn, it can be super toxic, especially if you continuously do it, because that mountain of things that you don't want to unpack just keeps growing. Next thing you know, it's Mount Kilimanjaro. Yeah. Okay. It's a lot.
It's a lot.
When did you recognize that you were distracting yourself and just completely like avoiding yourself?
Last year, when TikTok was at its prime, I thought that I could do the Bust It Challenge. We don't need to bring up the clip. I'm deleting it off the internet. So bring it up. I know where you sit at work. I thought that I was cute because I've always embodied this confidence, but I let myself go. And that's a hard thing to admit. As much as someone who loves working out and never had any fuss about, you know, eating healthy, I let myself go. And I did the Busted Challenge and I thought that I was going to die. I literally had to go to the cardiologist because I thought that I was having a heart attack. And
you were that winded from doing it.
So winded from dropping it low. And it's like, it's funny now, but I literally had to give myself a reality check and say, while I wasn't large and while I wasn't, you know, morbidly obese, according to that BMI, I was. And according to sort of my doctor, I very much was. And so it really was motivation for me to say, this is not cute. Like, this is something that I'm like, you've spent your whole entire life working so hard for your job. What if you put that little bit of effort that you put into your career, put that into your body and see what you can do? Because while I never let my body and my weight define who I wanted to be as that bitch, I knew that how I couldn't be her and who I'm sitting in right now if I didn't make the effort that I want to with my body. So after a year of like sort of like working out on my own, in December, I hired a trainer, shout out to Alex, And he honestly, truly whooped my ass into shape and allowed for me to be disciplined. The discipline that we sort of talk about when I was in jiu-jitsu, that discipline came back. I take my training very seriously. I show up and I push myself every single day to be a better person. And it's helped me both mentally, physically, and emotionally to just be stronger. So I think that how having something that allows for me to work towards that isn't just my career, and knowing that that's the one thing that I have to live with every single day, that's worth it. That's absolutely something that I think that you should invest in. Your biggest thing is investing in yourself. If you don't invest in yourself and you invest in building someone else's dream to start with, you're never going to go anywhere in life. You're going to be like me at 28 years old, having accomplished so much in their life, and say, well, the one thing you've never put any investment and time into is your body.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. It's so wild that, first of all, TikTok made you realize that. If we like cut out everything in between, it's like, this is what TikTok made me learn. So everyone that's sleeping on TikTok, get over yourselves, get on the app. But it's also so interesting because of the fact that once you had this talk with your doctor, you were like, okay, I need to figure out the ways that I can better myself. And as you said, it's not just physically now, it's mentally and emotionally, because being at the gym helps you to clear your head. But at first, like when you were starting to work out, like actually pay attention to what your body is telling you, how are you also training your mind to start focusing on you instead of, like you said, focusing on people's perceptions of you or people's dreams and whatnot?
So it's hard because we live in a very vain society. We live in a world where I feel like, as confident as I am, I still have some insecurities about, no matter how hard I work out, I feel like I'll still never get the attention of my crush. I'll never get the attention of the boys that I want. I'll never be chosen. Those fears and insecurities dissipate a little bit when I go and I work towards myself and I say, well, baby, you can lose weight, but that shitty personality that you have is not going to go away.
Like, oh, I know. That's right. Oh, I'm thinking about people left and right being like, you need to hear this.
There is a great prophet that said, and I quote, because this is unreleased, you ain't fuck me, you fuck the old body. You ain't fuck Nikki, you fuck Nicole body. Ain't no miles in this here new body. Hit them with the rest of the bitches, nobody.
Hey!
Saying that, as Onika Mirage said, that it's a funny thing and obviously a trend from TikTok for a while, but that actually helped my confidence and make me realize that I've always been very selective. I was a late bloomer and very selective about who I let anywhere near me, regardless of if someone liked me because of my body. I have stretch marks. I have 44 double T chest size. My ass is starting to be like Megan Thee Stallion's. Thank God, just praising that, to say it. And I've always had insecurities about my smile. I've always had insecurities about my hair. I've always had insecurities about everything. And so working out allowed for me to be like, I don't care. I don't care what you see about my physical body. It's my body. I'm pouring into it what you're not. So it's like how my perception is the only one that matters, yours doesn't. And eventually I will have someone who appreciates my body the way that I appreciate it. So I will say that how training allows for me to have that discipline to say that how I don't really care about what you think about me because I'm investing time into me and it's happening in my process. I've lost over like 45 pounds in the past year. And while that might not be a crazy plot twist number to, you know, other people,
it sounds pretty crazy and plot twisty to me.
It's something that I'm incredibly proud of because it shows that I trusted the process.
Definitely. So as we've been talking, it really sounds like you've shifted your perspective and I can hear the growth through your stories that you're telling. But what about those moments where you start to think a little negatively about yourself? How do you catch yourself before spiraling downwards and flick that switch again to be like, no, let me switch my perspective back in a different light?
You're talking to the queen of spiral here. I am, woo, like literally, I know how to spiral really well. It's a craft. It's a trade. When you have a Pisces sun, moon, and rising, and you are emotional yet creative, it is really, really easy to spiral about a lot of things. Because what it is that I start to realize that I'm starting to put my value of who I am as a person in the perception of what someone else has of me or what I think they want from me or from their lives. When it actually, the power needs to go back into my hands.
Yeah.
How I get out of spiraling is sort of going back to sort of my manifestation techniques and sort of being grounded in sort of faith and knowing that how what is meant to be for me will be for me. And in the past few months, it's very interesting that we're doing this interview and you're asking this question right now about shifting perspective, because in the last like 5 months, that's something I've truly learned how to master in shifting my perspective on saying if this is going to go this way, here's how the other ways that it can go, and let it happen the way it's supposed to happen. And I think that trusting and knowing that I've been able to manifest probably everything in my life, I've had to sort of turn back to the divine and say, hey, I trust you. I trust you now more than ever because you've given me everything I've ever wanted and desired in this life. And the one thing that you can't give me, which is the confidence and the power within my body or seeing results in my body, that's something I have to show up and I have to do the work in. So when it comes to spiraling, I've gotten it down to 19 minutes. The quote from my best friend that I've been able to get out of spiraling in 19 minutes. I think on Saturday, got out of it a little quicker than I thought, because it's very easy to make assumptions about everything. I think last night I was spiraling as well about something too. And this morning I came to the conclusion, because I don't want to lose sleep over this too. I don't want to make assumptions about how someone feels about me if they don't have the balls to tell me how they actually feel about me. That's exactly where I'm at. I already know who Sarita Marie Chinoth is. I don't need anyone to tell me who I am. And I don't need to sit here and wait for someone to see my worth and my value, especially when I am who I am. Sorry.
Sarita, I am so close to tears right now because I am just feeling so touched by what you're saying. And like, to put myself out there, it was like the past 3 weeks, I was traveling for work, ended up getting stuck where I was, and I was spiraling so bad. Like, if people were asking me, oh, how are you? How are you doing? I was like, I'm fine. Like, I'm doing okay. Things can be a lot worse than where I was. But then here I am. It's like 10 p.m. on a Saturday night, and I'm in my hotel room, and I'm thinking like, oh, who can I be reaching out to right now? Who could I be having a conversation with? And I'm thinking about a guy that should not be in my head anymore, that is still living rent-free. And I have closed this.
It's increased 15% in the pandemic. And I will say that these motherfuckers are not paying it by any.
He needs to be evicted. And I thought I had evicted him. I thought he was evicted. My therapist and I both agreed. We were like, oh, goodbye. But then here I am in my hotel room, lonely as fuck. And I'm thinking about this person. And I was like, Tina, this person was not good for you. Like, I don't even have this person's number on my phone anymore because I tried to block them. Didn't work out because blocking number is still in your phone. It's just in the block section. So I had to physically delete their number and all of our messages, whatever, from my phone and my laptop to make sure I could not contact them. And they don't have social media. Thank goodness they don't have social media, because I would have slid into a DM. But I had to say to myself, you are not in that same space that you were when you were with this person. You are so much better than that person, if I'm being completely honest. And you deserve so much more. So why would you go out of your way to reach out to this person where you don't even know where they are in their life? But what you do know is that they treated you poorly and they were willing to let you go because they thought that you were always going to be around. So once I realized, okay, I'm thinking about this person way too often, I looked at my pro cons list and then I just thought about the biggest thing that happened with us, where I was crying over my birthday because it just ended up being poorly. I had a friend fight because of it. And what did he do during that time? And I was like, hey, can I come over? I just like need comfort and I don't want to be alone. He said, oh, I'm really hungover. Like, I don't think it's a good idea for you to come. Excuse me, what? You weren't even going to have to do anything. I was willing to get food. So me remembering that
that's how I flicked my own switch to say, okay, Tina, you know that if you go back to this person, if they're even available, you're just going to be dealing the same shit a different day. So move on from it. And then I went on the apps.
You know what? And thank you so much for sharing that, because again, I'm pushing 30 and I find myself, and I've said it many times before in my own videos, and I've said it many times before in different interviews, but I do consider myself a very successful person. Even if that success is what someone else might not define as success, it's success to me. And I have been able to accomplish everything that I've ever put my mind to. But for me, there is that love aspect. And I want to talk a little bit about a project that I have coming up, and hopefully it'll be out by now. And while it's called Our Hearts of Our Desires, I sometimes call it Alice in Wonderland. And basically, I shot it with my really good friend, Chris Scott of Your Nomadic Friend. We literally shot 7 hours running through a garden in Long Island to basically show a story in which I feel that I'm running out of time. I kind of felt like I was a white rabbit because I was frantic. I was like, I'm out of time. I'm going to be late. I'm so, so late. And I get to this lake at a totally different part of Long Island that's shaped like a heart. It's beautiful. It's a Comset State Park. And I basically have this pocket watch and I'm just smashing this pocket watch. And I'm just kind of saying like, I'm done with this. I'm not out of time. And I think that that is the one biggest thing that I want to sort of implore on everybody in their 20s, is that you're not out of time. And I had to learn that lesson through everything I've gone through recently, which is coming to terms with my cultural identity, coming to terms with my body, coming to terms with the fact that how I don't need to be a particular size to get the guys that I desire. And the guys that I desire, desire me. I have to get over that sort of mindset. And when it comes to feeling like I'm out of time, or I know a lot of younger people feel like they're out of time, you're not. And the world around you will make you feel like that. And so I had to kind of basically step out of my comfort zone, you know, sort of show in a very beautiful, dramatic way that like, I feel free. And I feel like how all the running that I've done from all of these things, once I slow down, once I stop and smell the roses, that I realize, and coming back to my inner child, that is a lot of healing. And I will say that people come into your life for a reason. And while I do spiral a lot about my twin flame or a person that I have a crush on a lot, you know, it does hurt to see, you know, other people that you do have immense love for move on, because you know that how you can give them the love that they deserve. But at the end of the day, if you're not pouring into your own cup, who's going to pour into yours?
No one. You literally know, like, no one.
Like, that's the problem with dating today, is that so many people have this fear of commitment because there's so many people who are unaware and unwilling to do the work within themselves. And I feel like in the last 5 or 6 months, and again, this interview is happening at the precipice of this transformation that I'm going through, that makes me realize that I don't care anymore if you don't like me. I don't care anymore if you just want something for one night and that's it. I don't care. Because soulmate, come get me. It's ghetto as fuck out here. Like, I don't want this anymore. If you are not my soulmate, get out of my DMs, get out of my phone, get out of my Bumble, get out of my Tinder. Don't look at me at Stu Leonard's in Long Island. Like, I don't want it. Like, I don't want anyone. I'm willing to be single and be alone and vibe on your own. And that is the biggest thing too. In your 20s, vibe alone. New York City is so full of shit you can do by yourself. And I know that it's hard for some people who have different upbringings and whatnot. Like, being alone is not ideal. And I've had to learn that while I never was alone my whole entire life, inside I felt alone.
Yeah.
And so I found it, but now that I'm on my healing journey and now that I feel like somebody's son might get the most healed version of myself, I know that how my value, my worth, I'm on the pedestal. And I think that that happens a lot. When you don't put yourself on the pedestal, it's easy for you to spiral. So putting yourself on the pedestal and not putting them on the pedestal will allow for you to avoid self-inflicted heartbreak, which I'm the queen of. I make myself heartbroken every single day over shit that's not worth it. The person that is meant to be in your life is truly you pushed out. So if you feel confident and if you feel love, and who's to say, I might fucking cry right after this. Who knows? More than likely I will, but I got to meet in like 2 minutes. But I know that how, if I cry, I'm letting that energy out there and I'm not letting someone else hold that energy for me. I call back my energy from everybody who's using it without my consent because they don't deserve it and they don't deserve me.
Sarita, literally snaps across the board, 10s out of 10s, about every single point that you've hit on when it comes to time. Time is a social construct. We really need to stop saying that we're out of time. I fully agree with you because I was the type of person who was like, I'm going to be engaged and married by the time I'm 27, have my first kid at the age of 30. And like, am I 24 and I have no candidates to possibly be engaged to? Yeah, because I do want to make sure that I know a person before I get engaged.
You all have like fucking pneumonia. They've been in there for too long.
Like you said, it's ghetto out here. I'm like the streets. I said to my friend, I was like, do I have a simp girl summer? Should I try to have a simp girl summer? And she goes, I mean, do whatever you want, but it's also about what you're pushing out and what you're being receptive to. And what you were saying, like just giving it to the universe and just letting it go from there, it's going to work out. So with timing, I fully agree with you on that. And then also just the fact that we really do have to pour into ourselves. It's easier said than done, guys. But it's like, for me, pouring into myself was therapy. Have I seen my therapist in 2 months? No, because one, I'm paying for it out of pocket. And two, I've just been moving nonstop. But I know that she's there and she has communicated with me that she will be there. So I'm able to chat with her and book that therapy time when the next time that I'm ready. Pouring into myself is going on walks by myself, going to the movies by myself. I love my alone time. And that is something that I never thought I would say up until this time last year, where I was like, okay, I have to be my own best friend before I can like find these other friendships.
You have to. This applies to actual friendship in general, but this also applies to, I don't know how else to describe it. I went through a period in time, and I've said it before, I'm a late bloomer. I did not give myself to anybody until very late in life. Simple for the fact that, one, I didn't think anybody was worth it. And the person that I did happen with, I believe that they're 100% worth it. And while it never happened the way that I wanted it to happen, and while I have so much regret still for it, it happened the way that it happened, and it taught me a lesson in that process. And I still have immense love for the actual experience because I know that it made me a better woman right after that. But I will say that in the process, in the last, like, I guess the first half of the first like 3 months of this year, I lost a lot of friends. I lost a lot of friends, not because of any sort of argument or anything petty. It's just that my friends really wanted me to see the value in me that they know that I hold. And I was not doing that while I was seeking validation in men. And I think that that's the problem, is that it's very easy for us to go back to the apps and find somebody to eventually compromise our self-worth with. I've had a situation recently where I had pushed for a date and I end up in the middle of Chelsea. Like, it was just one of those things where like, it was not the way it was supposed to be. But again, I compromised my self-worth to try to fill a void that was not worth it. Because in the long run, the person you have a soulful connection with, and the person who makes you feel like you're at home, and the person who makes you feel calm and at peace, is 100% more worth it than the person who will make you feel confused from jump. And while I know that things happen differently, and I'm very much a person who believes that my soulmate is going to find me in every single timeline, every single lifetime, everything, I know that how there are some people that we have to kind of go through in order to discover ourselves. And that's sometimes their purpose in our life, and we have to move forward from that. That is my biggest thing, learning to let go and trust the process, and everything happens in divine timing. You can sit up here and be fake and act like that. I have a therapist. I've had a therapist for years. I go to training. I have an amazing job. I have amazing side jobs. I'm venturing out to be a creative producer. I'm putting more love into my body and my family and my friends, and still also while trying to have a hot girl summer and be the baddest bitch. Like, I think that what the problem is that how, if you don't see that, that's your loss because you're not on the winning team. So the thing is, I don't know how else to describe it, is that how I can't pour into someone else's cup and they're not pouring into mine. because you're overflowing with love and then I'm getting what? Nothing? Baby, no. That's not going to happen anymore. And I think that this is like a great therapy session for me too, in sort of self-worth and doing that. If you're in your 20s, don't compromise your self-worth for somebody's son who doesn't even know how to give love to themselves. And that means that there's no way in hell that they can actually give you the love that you deserve. So that's the reason why it's so important that you give love to yourself first and then fuck everybody else who makes you feel like you're not worthy of love.
Beautifully, beautifully said, Sarita. And I was going to ask you, like, as we wrap up, if there's anything that you would tell 20-somethings, like, what would it be? That seems to be a pretty good one. But I'm still going to ask you if there's any points that we didn't get to today, or if there's anything that quickly want to hit on before we end the show, like, please take this time to do so.
Yeah, I will say that I am so grateful to have so many people around me that invest in me and sort of pick up the phone when I call them and listen to me and everything that I go through. I think that it's really important in your 20s and the world that we live in right now is to check in on your strong friends, check in on your friends that say that I'm fine. Know that even if they say that that's the case, don't be too pushy. But again, it's really much in my nature to always pour love into other people. And I will say that take that risk. Don't be afraid to love. Don't be afraid to give your all to something. Because at the end of the day, if you are true with yourself, you'll rebound exactly how you're supposed to and hopefully take care of yourself in that process. If you're good and you're stable and you're set, just keep in mind that all of these experiences are not happening to you. They're happening for you. They're happening so that way they can teach you a lesson. And everything that you thought that was making you drown is actually teaching you how to swim. So that's the only thing that I'll say to 20-something-year-olds right now.
They're not happening to you. They're happening for you. I am totally writing that down in my journal because that is such a great quote to remind yourself. And especially when it comes to switching perspective. That is definitely something to keep in mind. Sarita, thank you so much for coming on the show. You have been an absolute pleasure and a gem. And this, I also might cry after this because I just feel so many emotions right now. But before you go, please plug where people can find you, your projects, your handles, everything. Go for it.
So you can find all of my content from my beauty influencing to my creative producing and everything involving Caribbean American Heritage Month on my Instagram at Sarita Knox.
Perfect, guys. I'm going to have Sarita's links in the show notes. Go check her out on Insta and everywhere else because you guys like literally need to tap in to what she's doing because she's getting her own Mount Kilimanjaro with success. I'll say it that way. Sarita, thank you again. And guys, thank you so much for tuning into another episode of In Your 20s. If you enjoyed today's show, send it to a friend, leave a review, follow us on Instagram at In Your 20s. That's 20s with a Y-S, not an I-E-S. My name's Tina with an H, and I'll catch you next Wednesday.